Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Quarter till 7. Yesterday, we heard that a school bus had overturned on a high rise. It was originally reported that there were no kids on board. Then we find out that 15 children were actually on board. 9 of them were taken to 2 different hospitals, one listed in serious condition, but stable. The other 6 students picked up by their parents and guardians at the scene of the crash and taken to the hospital by the parents. Now, the story behind this is incredible, and David Hammer, a friend of ours, WWL-TV investigative reporter, has been looking into school buses for a long time. And David, did this even shock you?
Yeah, I have to say it did, except that I knew that there were these problems underlying the buses, and it was just a matter of time before one of these were involved in a terrible accident like this. I mean, the most important thing with this story is what you just said, which is that you had kids on board, you had something that led to this accident where the bus hits the curb on the high rise, overcorrects and topples over, and some of these kids were really seriously injured. But once I started looking into it, then we discover that, like you said, there's this deeper story that relates to problems that we've seen for a long time that I've been covering, which is that these buses, there are new regulations put in place to try to deal with safety with school buses, to force school bus companies to come in and get inspected and to make sure their buses are up to snuff and to get their drivers approved by the city. And in this case, you had both a driver who was denied a permit because of his criminal conviction and a bus that had not been inspected and had not passed its safety approvals.
You know, we're going to drill down on this. One thing I thought when I see that they're saying that he hit the curb and overcorrected and that's when the bus flipped, that makes me wonder about his ability to drive a school bus in terms of him overcorrecting, and I don't know that much about it, but I guess the question is, at what point does a bus driver have to prove their efficiency, their proficiency at driving a school bus safely?
Well, I mean, that's part of the review process. I mean, the drivers don't go through a special training approval, but they do have their driving records checked and things like that before they get licensed. This guy was not permitted to actually drive a bus, Chad Rodney. Now, in terms of what exactly led him to lose control of the bus, we don't know that. But we do know that there was a sobriety officer on the scene, and he was on the scene when the police arrived, and they did not determine that he was impaired in any way.
Do you know if a bus driver is required to have this school bus driver this Class C license? I think it is to drive a truck.
Well, they have to have certain types of, they have to have that type of license, but it's beyond that because they also have to go through a background check and safety check with the city and get a special thing called a CPNC, which is a for-hire driver permit. So, yes, they have to get both the proper permit under the state law, but they also have to get this review under the city code. And in this case, this driver had neither.
How in the world... And we'll pick it up here when we come back. How in the world do you, the process, to if I have a school bus and then I start a company, how do I get to drive, to ferry students around and carry them around? And then how competitive is it? Who determines what buses are used, what companies are used? I know, as you just said, there is a permitting process for the drivers. But right. Then at what point are they retested? And I don't know if they got to drive the bus through cones, but I know the last thing in the world I would trust is me behind the wheel of a school bus right now because I don't know anything about it. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. David Hammer is a friend of the community, really, in terms of the investigative work he's done at Channel 4 and for the Stateside and Times-Picayune, rather, before that. And buses, school buses is something I think he's been the only person to really drill down on, and he's found a lot of problems. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now on WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker talking to David Hammer, WWL TV investigative reporter who's done a lot of good work for the community as it relates to school buses, surge and waterboard, and a lot of other things as well, including the Hard Rock collapse as of most recently. Well, I guess most recently would be the overturned school bus yesterday.
Yeah.
So, David, before we went to the break, I asked you, how does this whole process work? Yeah, Do you have to have a minimum amount of buses? How did this guy come to drive for that company, et cetera?
Well, I mean, you touched on something before the break that really goes to the heart of the matter, and that's who's minding the store. And that's what this whole taken for a ride investigation that I've done really tried to get at, because you've got all these charter schools. There's no central school district running the buses. Each school has to do their own contracting with their own companies. And some of these companies are really fly-by-night operations. Some of them are national companies that have a good reputation. But this company that's involved here is the largest of the local companies, Hammond's Transportation. They have 125 school buses out there on the road, but only 40% of them have gone through this inspection. And in fact, I was there this summer when they had some buses in for inspection. I was there looking at some of the inspection processes at the inspection station. They were failing their inspection. So in the middle, the owner, Mark Hammond, showed up and just pulled the buses, canceled all the rest of his inspections for the day and several going forward. And the city says that he has not continued to come in and get his school buses inspected. And so these buses, and that leads to this inevitable situation. There was one last month that didn't end up in a big accident, so nobody heard about it. And now I found out about it yesterday. And then you have this one. And then to find out on top of it, it's not only a bus that wasn't inspected, it was a driver that hadn't gone through the approval process, actually did go through the approval process and was denied because he had a cocaine possession conviction within 5 years that under state law prohibits him from driving. And they just don't seem to care. They just go ahead and do it and say, who's going to stop us?
And that's the question. Is that the disconnect in this process where you got to have the buses inspected? But if you don't, you can use them anyway. Is that the way it is?
The real problem, you know, that touched on that Zach Smith, the safety and purpose director for the city, touched on in our interview yesterday is, hey, you know, we need help. We put in these regulations to try to do something that wasn't really in our purview before, but we needed to do something to get this school bus process under control. But we need help from the schools, and we need help from the school district to actually oversee this. You know, school districts around the country, most of them run their own school bus process. They run their own school buses. Here, the school district doesn't do that. The school district doesn't have some of the processes at these schools. The school district doesn't have any direct control, and school buses is one of those things. And the school system has not taken any really active measures to get this under control. And so the city is saying, hey, we put in these regulations. Now you got to help us make sure that they're actually complying.
Does the charter school setup have a lot to do with this or not in terms of overview? The structure of it, I guess.
Absolutely, because it was specifically the charter school system where there isn't any direct overview, and the schools are kind of left on their own to contract with private companies to do the school bus service that led to the city stepping in and saying, hey, we got to get this under control. Remember, we had found all of these school buses with these safety violations earlier in the year. That forced them to make changes. But, you know, the changes get the regulations in place, but then you've actually got to have people who make sure that the school bus companies follow through.
David, I appreciate your work. I honestly do on everything you do, and the community should as well. Hope you have a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, whatever it is you celebrate, and Happy New Year.
Thanks. You too, Tommy.
David Hammer, WWL-TV Investigator.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.